This is Leo filling in for Katya as we go to our weekly feature with Minnesota DNR's senior climatologist, Kenny Blumenfeld. Greetings, Kenny. Do I have you on the air?
I hope so. I hear you.
I hear you, too. I think we're good. I appreciate your time again this morning. We are just two-thirds of the way through the month, it seems, with having had a few roller coaster rides since even I last talked with you 2 weeks ago. I don't know if that's a very good analogy, roller coaster rides with October weather, but we've had measurable snow twice at my house, and we've also hit 75 degrees at my house this month, and now they're telling me I might be in the upper 60s, maybe pushing 70 this weekend. So perfectly normal, Kenny?
Yeah, I mean, it's take it when you get it in October. It's one of those things where, you know, it would be silly to expect it all the time in October, but yeah, there isn't anything about a 65 or maybe even a 70-degree day in October that should, that has us really scratching our heads. We love it when it happens. It's glorious. That you get generally the drier conditions of fall mixed with light sunshine that's kind of easy to be outside in. And then when that warm air comes up, yeah, real nice. So, but you're right. Who knows what the best analogy is or the best metaphor to describe very changeable conditions this October, though. We started out the month quite warm, and most of the state was really on pace to have a way above normal month. And then, you know, by the middle of the month, kind of the beginning around the 9th or 10th, it just turned. And, we had dropped into the 40s and 30s and 20s. And I think I mentioned to you before we talked that, you know, we had locations in western Minnesota earlier this week that they had got down to about 9 degrees. And we had a lot of 10-degree readings out in the western and northwestern, even southwestern part of the state. So that was, you know, in many cases, just 5-6 days after having temperatures rise into the 80s.
Right. In fact, Kenny, could those same locations again bounce back towards 80 this weekend? And that's part of why we look for analogies about that continuing swing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's what's interesting about it is the result of this is going to leave Minnesota for in the temperature department very close to our averages or our, what we call our normals.
Yes.
And how much of the story does that really tell?
Right. I was going to say there are many different ways to achieve an average, and this might be an unusual one, but then again, if October typically has more changeable weather, then maybe it's not that out of that far exceptionally, anomaly for an October to achieve an average by going to both extremes.
It's worth kind of thinking about anyway. I can't tell you offhand how common it is. I do know we did a story. I want to say it was, a December. It was one of the winter months where it had started incredibly warm, and then it just, then the bottom fell out. And so the result was, for anyone who experienced, it seemed like, you fell from this very high peak down into this extraordinarily deep trench. And the statistical result was average.
There you go.
Like exactly average. And I would say that, that's probably a fairly, maybe an exaggerated but somewhat common way for us to reach those near normal conditions, because we are a very volatile and changeable climate, and this part has nothing to do with the changes that we've observed over recent decades. It's just that we're stuck in the middle of a continent. We're at 45 to 48 degrees north latitude.
Yes.
Or what, we're 47 degrees north latitude. We are basically halfway between the North Pole and the equator, and we are also the same distance from the Rocky Mountains as we are from the Canadian tundra and prairies, as we are from the Gulf of Mexico and as we are from the Atlantic Ocean. So we really have these influences from very different places that can act on us with something as simple as a change of the wind direction. And so I think that getting to average conditions often is sort of a bumpy ride.
Right.
And probably we experience truly average weather not right. all that frequently.
And I may have adventured a little bit beyond my pay grade when I was trying to come up with some climate change related ideas to talk to you about when I was looking at what effects climate change has already had maybe on weather variability of temperatures. And of course, I read some abstracts telling me that in mid-continent upper latitudes in the United States that maybe we'd have a narrowing of variability of daytime and nighttime temperatures. But I got in the weeds pretty quick and didn't know what impact you might want to confirm for us, that what trends are absolutely shaping up as happening. As far as I can tell, the one thing that I see everyone more or less agreeing on is that we're having warmer overnight lows in general. Is that in this particular part of the country, or is that all across this continent?
I mean, it's really the change that most areas in the world are seeing most. It just has to do with, remember, we're a greenhouse planet, and then we are also increasing our greenhouse effect. And when you have a greenhouse effect, what that means is you have gases in the atmosphere that actually prevent the air from cooling out completely, right?
Right.
So it's not that all of the sunlight that's received at the Earth just then escapes into space, but some of that heat is absorbed in the atmosphere. And greenhouse planets tend to have a stronger greenhouse effect in the areas that are higher latitude away from the equator, where there's generally less sunlight, longer nights and also longer winters.
Right.
So that's true here. And then when we enhance the greenhouse effect through adding additional greenhouse gases like carbon dioxide and methane and water vapor into the atmosphere, that further enhances the response that you see, so that northern areas, the areas with long winters especially and long nights especially, or high latitude areas with long nights and long winters, tend to see the changes the most. And one of the results of that is that the nights generally are showing more warming than the days, and especially winter nights. But because there's just more heat in the system as a result of all of this, we are seeing some increase in daytime temperatures. To your point about, the narrowing of our temperature range, I mean, think of it like this. Over the long term in Northeast Minnesota, and this is really true throughout much of Minnesota now, over the last 100 or so years, the coldest night or the coldest readings that you'll get during the year have warmed on average, by between 5 and 10 degrees Fahrenheit. Kind of depends on exactly how you look at it, but that's, pretty safe range to give. So the warmest or the coldest nights of the year are 5 to 10 degrees warmer than they used to be. By contrast, the hottest days of the year are pretty much where they've always been.
Right.
So, roughly, we're not yet getting hotter than we used to be. There's some parts of far northern Minnesota that are showing signs of just starting to escape the historical ranges a little bit. But so if you think of that, that means, we are narrowing that range. It's not necessarily that on any given day we're narrowing the range between the high and the low temperature. But over the course of the year, we're a little less amplified because those low temperatures have risen enough that, now in northern Minnesota, instead of being able to bank on a negative 45,
right,
maybe you're banking on a negative 35 or 37.
Yeah.
But during the summertime, if your historical high temperature was generally, maybe mid-90s, that's still pretty much where we are. But it does bring the range down. Eventually, though, we do eventually we do expect the high temperatures to start ticking up a bit because there's just so much additional warm air around us that it's just
sure.
not going to take as much energy to get us from that warmer baseline in spring into some, you know, extremely hot conditions.
Well, Kenny,
that's a good question, Lee.
You know, that is an excellent explanation of one of many climate change phenomena that people need to understand a little better. There are implications to having the lowest temperature in winter come up 5 to 10 degrees. And there's also along the way, you pointed out to me, not a climate change fact, but a climate strange fact. Kenny, can you just lay on us what you pointed out to me about the temperatures at Halloween and how they've apparently changed in the last couple of decades?
Yeah, sure. So this actually comes courtesy of a climatologist in Alaska named Brian Brettschneider. I just want to give him credit because he actually makes a lot of maps and does a lot of data analysis. And he tweeted out a couple weeks ago that, you know, of course, the entire country, pretty much everywhere in the country, is showing signs of long-term warming. And that means that on average, throughout the year, we're getting warmer. But there are always going to be, you know, exceptions along the way. It's not that every single day is warmer than it's ever been. And, of course, maybe not even every day has the same warming trend. And one of the things he pointed out was that in the north central United States since 1950, Halloween has gotten cooler. You know, and this is what's incredible to me about this. I looked at it. It stands up. We just don't have as many warm Halloween days in the last 20, 30 years as we had, say, 60, 70 years ago.
Right.
And, you know, who knows what
right.
that's really
Right. And we see out west they're having some exceptionally warmer Halloweens in this distribution,
yeah,
but it's
exactly.
dark blue and almost black in the center of the country. And I think I looked at it and thought to myself, okay, this is a spooky anomaly, Kenny. It just is what it is. If we looked at November 2nd, it might be completely different rather than October 31st. I don't know, but I just...
Well, there's something about that period that's showing a little bit of that same cooling.
Okay.
The period from kind of late October into early November. But you have to keep this in mind. Autumn is warming very rapidly. So that period from September through November, that's our second fastest warming season behind winter.
Right.
It's just taken off. September, you know, we're going into some new territory with September warmth in recent years and November warmth in recent years. So there's this little, I don't know, oasis isn't the right term, but there's this little pocket of cooling that's occurring kind of at the end of October and early November that centers right around Halloween. That's an exception to this otherwise very strong trend towards warmer conditions. So just chalk it up to spookiness.
Yes, and
spooky, you know, it may be just the chill in the air. Halloween has become more chilling.
Yes, and to those of us who also remember the Halloween snowstorm of three decades ago, it just adds... add some wonder to the whole holiday. And I just guess what we should say is be prepared to bundle up the kiddos if you still have kiddos trick-or-treating, because that's been the trend. I can't say what it looked like 10 days from now, but we'll stay tuned and see whether it's spooky again this year. Kenny, I have to go. We've got shows beckoning. I thank you so much for your time.
Great. Thank you. Good talking with you, Leo.
Take care, Kenny. That was Kenny Blumenfeld, the DNR senior climatologist, with weather tidbits here on KTWH.